Right, a very full Cabinet and Committee agenda today, with major Cabinet papers around climate change, energy, sustainability issues and also immigration. We have approved for release and consultation in the coming weeks the draft New Zealand Energy Strategy and draft New Zealand Energy Efficiency and Conservation Strategy, which is being renewed after its first time period, and also a discussion paper on transitional measures to reduce greenhouse gas emissions from electricity and non-transport energy supply prior to longer-term measures kicking in, as well as a discussion paper looking ahead to the post-2012 period and measures to reduce greenhouse gas emissions in that longer-term framework. As well as a major consultation document to go out on land management and climate change issues, dealing with options in forestry and in agriculture. All of those documents across energy and forestry agriculture will be released in the pre-Christmas period, beginning next week, and all of them deal with ways of making New Zealand more sustainable and making a contribution to dealing with the climate change challenge. So that's taken a lot of time this afternoon. On immigration, we've taken policy decisions today on the amendments which we're proposing to the Immigration Act. You'll recall there was a major review document that went out a number of months ago, a major consultation that's now all been considered, analysed, and the Minister has brought the proposals through to the Cabinet, and the aim will be to introduce a bill in April next year to overhaul the Act. Other decisions today, well, Trevor Mallard's announced the outcome of our discussion on the Rugby World Cup venue. We've agreed to the introduction of the Major Events Management Bill. That's a Trevor Mallard bill dealing with ambush marketing issues, which we have to safeguard the World Cup rugby venues from. We have agreed to introduction of a Births, Deaths, Marriages and Relationships Registration Amendment Bill. That's a Rick Barker bill. Also a Social Security Amendment Bill, which gives effect to the announcements which David Benson-Pope made several weeks ago around improvements to the administration of the benefits system. We've approved responses to Select Committee reports on the inquiry into the 2005 election. It's the triennial review, and also the Select Committee report into the issue of overseas pensions. Agreed to a discussion paper on cost recovery mechanisms and charges for biosecurity in New Zealand, which are levied around live animal and germplasm exports. Agreed to sign the labelling agreement of the World Wine Trade Group Agreement, and that will be put through the normal parliamentary examination process prior to government considering ratification. We've agreed after a review to policy decisions to overhaul the whistleblowers protection legislation, which is called the Protective Disclosures Act. And we've taken policy decisions on an overhaul of the Unit Titles Act 1972. That act, of course, is now more than three decades old, and a lot has changed around the unit title in that time. Otherwise, coming up in the course of the week, tomorrow there'll be a morning tea in my office where three of us celebrate the 25th anniversary of our election to Parliament. In the case of Michael Cullen and me, we celebrate actually 25 consecutive years. Phil Goff's the other one, elected 25 years ago tomorrow. And I do note today is, I think, the 7th anniversary of the 1999 election. We have on Thursday, export year, announcements. It is the Export Awards evening. There will be an announcement around initiatives for Export Year on the Thursday afternoon in Auckland as well. And on Thursday, David Cunliffe should also be in a position to be making announcements about the changes to be proposed to the Immigration Act. Come Friday, I'll be in Rotorua for the ceremony around the Te Arawa Lakes settlement. And we're very happy to see that drawn to conclusion. Any questions?
How did you look at the decision that you had to go with Eden Park rather than a waterfront stadium option?
Well, I think a very important process has been through. When the rugby union bid for the World Cup, the idea was that there would be temporary seating erected at Eden Park for a sum of money rather less than $100 million. And then for one reason or another, that became not feasible. And so a proposal was developed for Eden Park to have a full rebuild, replacing old stands with new, and that became a $300 million plus project. At that point, I think the best course to take was to say, is this the best way to go? Are there other options? And in good faith, Trevor Mallard had other options looked at. One around the waterfront worked up, and then he went out to the Auckland councils and to the public on it and said, well, what do you think? Now, the result was a somewhat mixed verdict, but that meant that it wasn't the sort of response which meant that a national stadium on the waterfront could proceed. So given the government's view that the major games for the Cup, semi-finals and final, should be in Auckland, as New Zealand's major international city of scale and where the major accommodation is, then you come back to looking at the Eden Park proposition. So I think, in all fairness, the issue of location had to be raised, but I don't have a discomfort at all with the decision that's been reached today.
The government's preferred option, though, was the waterfront, so you must be disappointed that that hasn't been taken up by Aucklanders.
We've always had an open mind about what the outcome would be, but you have to, in all fairness to everyone, say that when a proposition around Eden Park balloons out from under $100 million to well over $300 million, that does require another look.
Do you blame Aucklanders, though, for not being able to come to some kind of consensus about it?
No, I think it is a major issue, what happens on the Auckland waterfront. And I would hope, as an Aucklander myself, that over time we'll see ambitious proposals for the Auckland waterfront which open it up more for public activity. But that's going to be something that will be worked through in slower time by Auckland.
Is there any determination about any legislation you may need to pass to progress the Eden Park option more quickly than maybe it would happen normally?
I understand the strong advice that the Eden Park Trust Board has received and passed on to Trevor Mallard is that they do not require legislation and are not asking for it.
Could Trevor have handled this a little bit better in any way?
Well, I think a proposal like this is always going to excite a lot of debate, and everyone here knows Trevor. Trevor throws himself fully at things. He was excited by the concept. He went at it full steam, as he always does. In the end, what we all want is a buildable option which people can, broadly speaking, unite around. And so the exercise had to be gone through, and the result may not be where Trevor's energy was being directed, but at the end of the day, we'll get on and make a great World Cup for Auckland.
What advice has our government had regarding the security situation in Fiji, particularly threats against our High Commission?
A great deal of advice, and it continues to flow. But obviously there have been many things said in Fiji which are very, very concerning, and so we've taken prudent steps with the travel advice to say that non-essential travel should be deferred, and we've taken prudent steps with respect to our own High Commission staff.
Any credence to those threats?
Well, I'll describe it as a prudent response.
Alexander Downer said that the threats were made to New Zealand and New Zealanders, not Australia.
Well, I think we'll speak for New Zealand. We've put out our travel advice with an upgrade saying please defer non-essential travel, and we have taken prudent steps with respect to our High Commission staff.
Do you know whether the Foreign Minister has got anywhere in his discussions with Frank Bainimarama today?
We're in dialogue with the Commander and with the Fiji Government. What we are desirous of is trying to see if there's a way through what is clearly an impasse. And if we can help with that, we will. So we're talking to a range of people.
There are armed troops on the streets of Suva today, and Frank Bainimarama is supposedly going to be back in Fiji tomorrow. So this all looks like this may shake down pretty quickly and that it could be pretty messy.
Yeah, we're well aware of what's going on, and we are talking to all sides concerned.
Any suggestion that the Commodore might be detained in New Zealand?
No.
Can I go back to the stadium briefly? On the Eden Park option, is there any discussion on the final offer the government might make of financial help to the rebuild there?
No, because there's now a lot of discussion to be had with the Eden Park Board of Trustees as to what their expectations are about ongoing governance arrangements and funding. It looks likely that the government's arrangements there wouldn't stay as what they are at present.
Have you read Mickey Haga's book or any of the book?
Oh, browse, I think would be the correct description.
And how did you find it?
As I said on media this morning, I think the level of cynicism exposed was simply breathtaking.
Prime Minister, you said that to Paul Holmes. Were you aware Paul Holmes was giving Don Rash a couple of coaching sessions before the election?
Not before I had extracts of the book read to me on Friday.
Planning on bringing it up next session with Paul Holmes on Monday?
I did ask him off air whether he was feeling a little bruised.
Is there anything in there, Ree Jonas, that will play a role in what you might do to campaign finance in future months?
I've been saying for many months that the real corruption in New Zealand politics is around less than transparent election funding. And if anything makes a case for the changes which should be made to campaign funding laws, it's the way the National Party conducted itself last campaign.
What did you think of the announcement today of the key English leadership duo for the National Party?
Well, I offer them my congratulations. I think that becoming the leader of one's party is a very significant step. I remember it myself. There's always a lot of elation and excitement because you're putting a team together around that leadership. Of course, that's the first step. The next steps are to develop a vision, a policy, a plan, and that's the hard bit.
How well do you think New Zealand knows John Key?
Well, pretty much an unknown quantity, I would say.
Mr. Key said today he wanted to develop a constructive relationship with all parties in Parliament. Do you think you can develop a constructive relationship with him?
Well, there's certainly been periods in New Zealand's past when there have been more constructive oppositions. I like to think I led a more constructive opposition myself in the past. So there are certainly issues around which I think there could be more bipartisanship on, and we'd be happy to explore those with Mr. Key.
Would you expect a bipartisan approach on changes to the funding of campaign?
Well, obviously we'll be in discussion with other parties about what should happen. The question is whether the National Party, having seen the terrible damage it does itself with this untransparent election funding, is prepared to enter into that.
How do you think a key National Party will differ from a Brash-led one?
Oh, I've no idea. I mean, there'll be style differences, but I think what the public will want to know is what's the policy differences.
You don't see Mr. Key as more centrist, Mr. English as more centrist than Don Brash?
Well, I think we're going to have to see how it evolves. I mean, we've been through an election campaign in the last year, which saw Mr. Key at Dr. Brash's elbow with no apparent dissent. So I think really they need time to settle down and work out where they're going. I think the overall message you take from what has been exposed is that this is a pretty deeply divided party, and I doubt that that's ended with anything that's happened today.
What do you think of the idea of Don Brash staying or potentially even in a front bench position?
No, that's up to them.
You don't think it'll be an odd look having him sitting there next to John Key and Bill English?
Well, that's really up to them.
This is the fifth National Party leader that you've chosen, mate. Do you expect to see a sixth?
Yes.
Just back to Fiji. Obviously, a few weeks ago when this all blew up, there were contingency plans in place. I mean, where are those plans? Have they been scaled back and now they've stepped up again?
Well, what we're really working on at the moment is there any way through this? Of course, there were just contingency plans discussed in considerable detail several weeks ago. And those plans are still there. I understand we're reasonably flush with transport planes at the moment, if that's an issue. But as I've observed in the past, when these problems had occurred in Fiji, generally people have been able to get home with commercial arrangements. But certainly a full consular operation would swing into gear. But we're trying to work through whether there are ways of averting this at the moment.
Back to the stage, there's been a lot of focus on Auckland, obviously, but has the government got plans in terms of perhaps providing some financial support in terms of upgrading regional stadiums that will obviously host pool games? Are you looking at that issue in terms of...
That hasn't been in front of us, no.
Why did you remove the offer for the bed and airport tax from Eden Park? It seemed that Trevor was saying earlier on that they could use that funding, and now he's saying they can't, which potentially puts it back on ratepayers.
Well, the decision today is, in essence, one of saying, let's sit down with Eden Park and work out what's going to happen here. I really don't want to elaborate further than that. I obviously haven't been privy to the press conference, so I don't want to sort of get a sort of he said, what do you think, because I haven't seen a transcript of it. So I really have nothing more to say on that.
But do you think the ratepayers should be paying at all?
I really don't want to offer an opinion at all.
So that frees up quite a lot of money that the government was prepared to give to a national stadium. Are there any big plans for Auckland that you might put that toward?
Not that I can think of.
Not public transport?
Well, public transport spending is already 7.5 to 8 times what it was 7 years ago, so that's had a fair share. But Auckland always has a need for money, as you may have observed, whether it's train electrification or new highways.